Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway North Church based out of Winnipeg, Canada. Your Sunday sermon, any day of the week.
We are in a teaching series called Cross Culture. It's all about living against the grain in our culture. As Christ has called us to follow him, we are called to be different in the world in which we live. It is based out of the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, if your app, you want to go to chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. The title of the sermon this morning is called God Restores. Yeah, God restores, and he will do that this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but has it ever happened to you where a friend or a spouse makes a remark about how you look like? It's kind of like Sunday morning, I get dressed, and then my wife says, what is that? That shirt does not match. So someone may have made a remark. So you know what that feels like. Or have ever anyone who said, listen, when I speak to you and the way you look at me, looks like you're angry. What's going on? You know what I'm talking about? Now you look happy. That's good. I love that. The worst remark that I ever had received, and you may have think about that as well, is, hey, where have you been? What is it you wear that smells? Isn't it odd? Well, that's strange, right? Like, where have you been? It's often said that the senses of smelling, is closely related to our memory bank. It's often associated with time and even places where smell finds a home in our memory bank. And sometimes it is scary. But on the lighter form, let me just kind of see how you respond to the following places of smell and what kind of association you have with the word when I say freshly baked bread. What comes to mind? Okay, what else? Bakery. What? Yummy? Yum? At least twice a week, I go to Crispy Bun. I don't know if anyone knows Crispy Bun. I love walking in at 8 o'clock in the morning when they just open the door and you have this whiff of smell. Beautiful, fresh baked bread and all kinds of stuff. And I just buy my multigrain bread and I go home as happy as I can ever be. Because that morning, I'm going to have freshly baked bread. How about, are there certain spices or herbs that come to mind, and when you eat it, you think about what? Cancun? Acapulco? Heartburn. All right, heartburn. For me, that brings all kinds of mixed emotions. I've traveled across the globe, and I can basically tell you, what does it smell like in Comas, Lima, Peru? And I would tell you what it smells like. I walk down the street in Comas and I can tell you, yep, that is Comas. Just from the smell of the streets that I walk down, the poorest shanty towns in Lima, Peru. What about burning wood? If you go for a walk around the neighborhood and right now in this time of the year, there's already people who have a fireplace going. So when you smell burning wood, what comes to mind? What? Bonfire. Is it good or bad? Good. Asado, or barbecue. How about coziness? Marianne usually will say when we walk around the neighborhood and then she smells of the burning wood coming out of this smoking stack. Oh, I would love to just sit by the fire. We would love to have a fireplace. We don't have a fireplace. But it brings coziness, warmness to bear on our minds. What about a roasting turkey roasting in the oven? What kind of season of year does that remind you of? Thanksgiving? Okay, that's great. That's about it. What about an evergreen tree? Christmas. What about the perfume your grandmother wore? Grandma. And with that, we say everything. It was grandma, right? It was grandma. What about the smell of laundry detergent? And you smell it on people's clothes. Okay, this is getting really personal now. Yeah, right. It feels awkward, right? Like there's certain associations that we have. We have in Spanish a saying that says, dime con quien andas y te diré quién eres. Tell me with whom you have been walking with, and I tell you who you are. Tell me with whom you've been walking with, and I tell you who you are. That is to say, we acquire, we take on the smell, the aroma of the places that we go and we are part of. And sometimes, and I would just kind of flip it on a different context, the Apostle Paul called the Corinthians the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ. Just like a clerk puts a bottle of perfume on display in a department store, Paul says God puts you and I on display for the world to smell the aroma of Christ in us. That is, the longer you walk with Christ, the longer you remain in Him, the longer you are willing to learn from Him, you will take on the nature or the aroma of Christ. That is to say, you start to smell more like unity. That is to say, you start to smell more like forgiving. You start to smell more like you are hope-filled. That starts to smell more like I am in love with someone. It starts to smell more like I'm a comforter. I'm comforting others as He has comforted me. But here's the upset side to this. We have to deal with an enemy who only knows garbage, garbage in and garbage out. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. There is someone whose aroma is the aroma and the smell of death, not life. Carries within the smell and the aroma of disunity, of unforgiving spirit, of stress, worry, fear, and anxiety. That's all that the Satan, the enemy, in which the world in which you and I live, we take on that aroma, that smell of the one who says it's not worth giving your life to the eternal God. This is, in essence, what Paul is saying in the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He says, you need to stand on guard that the fragrance of Christ is for everyone to smell, and that they will know why you are who you are. And he says this in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive, Paul says. And indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, it may be put in doubt, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. So that we, and Paul says this is not just an issue of you out there, you Corinthian church, you do not take the aroma, the fragrance of Christ. We, it's us together. We would not be outwitted, and the word here outwitted means outperformed, outsmarted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. In other words, I'm going to put this on the screen. If you walk in Christ, you will have the fragrance of Christ. If you walk in Christ, you will take on the fragrance of Christ. Can we read that together? Walk in Christ and you will have the... Say that again. Walk in Christ and you will... Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, obviously there's lots to be said. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love. As Christ loved us and he gave himself up for us. And here it is, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus himself, as the Son of God, is a fragrant offering from the Father's relationship that he has with the Father. And he says, I am a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And if Christ has set us an example for us, what it means to live a life of life, not of garbage and death and disunity, he says, I want you to be in the business that I am in. And that is to restore what the world calls garbage, nonsense, what the world calls fight for your rights. Change that. That narrative has to change. As you walk in Christ, you take on the fragrance of Christ. This is the issue of the church in Corinth. Stop walking in death. Stop walking with unbelief. Stop walking in disunity. Stop walking in criticizing one another and take on the fragrance of Christ. You hear me? Take on the fragrance of Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, that's towards the end of that chapter, and then we'll reverse it and go back to verse 1. Paul says this, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. When Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, and he could have written that letter to us as well today, he wanted to put his best foot forward. And he knew in his heart, in his own heart, his motive and his burden was to see that the kingdom of God in the church of Corinth that was going through some very difficult times, that they would not lose the treasure of the love of Christ that had been poured out upon them, and that they would lose their calling as a church. The question that we're going to look at this morning as we read from the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is, how do we get to establish the aroma, the fragrance of God's restorative love when we face difficulties and challenges? You know how it usually is when we are filled with so many challenges in our everyday life, eventually we become that ourselves. We take on that kind of smell and we are not a happy camper. So when you get up in the morning and it doesn't feel good because the night before was a late night and you were overwhelmed with the day before and the week before, and you feel like this day is just going to be a bomb. It's not going to work it out. So how do we get to take on the aroma, the smell of Christ that calls us to be different in this world that says, fight for your rights. Go all the way. Don't let it go. Just go and bang it on and take it away because it is yours. Fight for your rights. And Christ would say, here's my first point this morning. How do we take on the aroma of Christ? Restorative love will put others first. If you want to be in the business of restoring as Jesus was in the business of restoring and re-transforming people's lives, he says the following, and now I'm going to go back to the beginning of chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. This is what Paul had to say. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit for you. For if I cause you pain, then who is there to make me glad? The one whom I have pained. Paul literally is saying, like you are it, like there is no one else. So if I caused you pain, then who will make me joyful? And I wrote as I did so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Let me put it in the context of what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth. He had received reports from others, from Timothy and Titus, friends of Paul, who had visited the church in Corinth, that the church in Corinth was not staying on track with where Paul wanted the church to go. And there were such things as, there were some people in that church that claimed to have superior spiritual authority. It's kind of like you can walk into a room, you say, I know who runs the ship. Yep, there's more people here that would say they want to be chief. Too many of them. And there was few of them who were actually causing disunity because they said, we are more holy than you. So how dare you to say anything, because I am holier. I'm better than you. There were problems where the church members in that community were taking others to the public court and suing each other. There was abuse of the communal meal, where people were coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, but they didn't eat at home. So when they came, they were feasting on what was being bread and supposed to be the bread and the wine in remembrance of what Christ had done on the cross, but they were feasting to feed their hunger. There was sexual misbehavior happening in the church. And so Paul, on top of that, was contending with some super apostles who had come in his absence, and they preached in the church in Corinth, and they said, listen, what Paul is saying, don't believe a word. Paul's character was being challenged. So how does Paul respond to this? This is the challenge that he was writing into in the church of Corinth. So how does Paul's love respond to these adverse circumstances? A, he says, don't inflict unnecessary pain, but also don't avoid an honest conversation. Has that ever happened to you? You know that there is an issue that is pending. Things and relationships are broken down. Families are not talking. Members are not talking to each other. You walk into the room and you feel like there is glass. Feels like someone could just slice it through because it could just explode. And you feel like, if I just had a chance, I would just cut it right to the chase and say what it is. Paul could have done that. No question. He was the spiritual father for many of those who were in that church in Corinth, but he didn't. Because he says, if I do that, then who will encourage me? Because you are the ones that I love with all my heart. But, and I think here it is something that I feel occasionally, instead of just going, talking about it, talking to other and gossip, you know, have you heard about this, this and this? Do you know what the leader has said, this and this and this? No, you need to have an honest conversation. And very often when we are in adverse circumstances, we choose rather to look for a pity party than actually to go to the people with whom we should talk. And Paul says, I need to say, but I refrained from coming to you because I was afraid of myself. And he is honest with himself. He says, because if I would come, probably, boom, I would have said more harsher things than what I'm writing. So I chose not to come, and I chose to write to you. And I would say this is a good thing for all of us when we face difficulties in life. And there's a marital problems happening, and you would just wish I could just lay it in. How about if you just go back, take a deep breath, and then write it out first. What is it that I want to say? Because truly, the person that I'm going to say this, I love from all my heart. So I don't want to hurt them. I want to help them. So Paul is really helping us through to say this, and this is the second part. Then if you want to do that, check your motive before you speak and write. Check your motive. Check within your heart, what is it that really is at stake? What is it that I need to say? Paul says, I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears. Paul was saying basically, I don't like confrontation. Who likes confrontation? I don't like confrontation. But we need to. But how? Check the motive of your heart. If there is issues unresolved in relationships, in your family, in your marriage, and at work, or even here in the church, don't just stay away. Ask yourself in your heart, I need to be honest on this one. Check the motive of your heart. I remember my childhood years, we are five siblings in my family, and I'm the number three out of five. So I'm smack in the middle. And I got most of the spanking and most of the discipline in my family. Now, rightful so. I deserved every single one of them. I just felt that it was unfair that I would be the only one who would always get the discipline, right? I would be the always one at fault because the two older ones, the two younger ones, yeah, they were good and they were too young, and I was always getting it in the middle. So I remember my dad was not at home, and he would be gone. He was an evangelist. He would be gone for weeks at a time. And my mom had to do all the discipline in my family. So I remember my mom chasing me because I'm gallivanting. I'm just running away from my mom because I know I'm going to get it. So, surely I should have received it, but I'm running away. And then I see my mom just tearing up, just crying. Yes, she is alone at home. She's going to be mom and dad, and she needs to spank this boy again. And she doesn't want to do that. And I said to mom, why are you crying? I'm just really wild at heart. I said, mom, why are you crying? You can suspend this spanking session. Let it just go. You and I will be very happy then. You'll be smiling and I will be smiling too. And then she says to me, kind of like sheepishly, and before she was going to spank me, it's because I love you, Delbert. Oh, okay. Okay, mom, bring it on. Mom and I, we got along well. Let me tell you, I love my mom. I just didn't like that she had to cry so much because it hurt her more than it hurt me. But this is what happens when we are honest with ourselves. Then check the motive of your heart. Why do you do? Why do you say what you say? Why do you write on social media things that you should have never said in first place? Why do you do that? Don't. Number two, to bring about the aroma of Christ, love requires that the restorative love seeks to help others grow. It's not simply just saying this is what needs to happen. This is how we need to address the issue. Paul says in verses 5-7. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, but not to put it too severely to all of you. For such a one, and here, if you want to just kind of, I'm going to stop there. For such a one, there was a problem in the church in Corinth. Paul was referring to a sexual immoral behavior by one of the members in the church, a young man who had an incestual relationship with his father's wife. This issue was severely addressed in the church. It was talked about. They disciplined this young man. And he had repented. So now I'll continue in that verse. So this punishment by the majority is enough. And seems to be that Paul is addressing that most of the people actually punish this man for his misbehavior, his sexual misbehavior. And so he says, so you should rather turn now to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Who? Has it ever happened to you where you know that something has happened in your life and you were somehow tainted or paint over or you were labeled? Huh? And somehow you say, yes, I think I deserve that. And then you repent from that and you turn around. But then you come back. And from that moment on, people always look at you, That's the one. And they don't forget you. They don't give you opportunity. They just have sized you up already. That's where you come from. That's who you are. How do you feel when that happens? It doesn't feel good. You feel like just walking away. If that's what I get, why should I be part of a community of faith? If I'm labeled and I'm not forgiven, why? Why should I be part of this? This is what Paul was talking to the church. This was a serious issue. Let me ask you, is there anyone here without sin? Is there anyone here without sin? All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen, and we deserve death. But Christ, who loved us so much and restored us, brought us back into a full relationship with the Father. He looks upon us not for the sin that we have committed, but he looks at us as saved, as redeemed, as restored, as transformed, not what we used to be. And this church was labeling someone who had repented, and they said, you keep punishing him, instead of saying, welcome home. Welcome home. You belong to this family, because we know we all are being restored in Christ and taking on the aroma of Christ, of forgiveness, not disunity, but unity. And I think as believers, we have a high calling to take on that kind of restorative love and take the aroma of Christ in us who forgave us. He says, you need to also forgive and move on and let it go, because I love everyone. I love everyone. Number three, restorative love reaffirms those who have found forgiveness. Verses 8 to 11 from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So Paul says, I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, to this gentleman. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive, Paul says. And indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Satan seeks to divide families. Satan seeks to divide relationships, friendship. Satan seeks to divide churches. And he only knows one thing: to bring around the aroma of garbage. And Paul says, this is not who you are called to be. You're called to forgive. You're called to take on Christ's aroma, who forgave you and released you to bring restoration into the world in which you and I live. Now it is our call. Do I forgive from the heart? And do I really want to see that person grows and becomes all that Christ has intended that person to be? If some of you are in that place where you feel the tension, even in this moment of, there are some severed relationships in your life, in your family, in community, even here this morning. And if you feel in your heart, even right now already, I feel uncomfortable, don't push back. Just let the Spirit of God minister to you. He wants to restore you, because he needs you to be in the business of restoration of all of creation. Here's something that Paul comes to the end of chapter 2. in 2 Corinthians. And then he says the last point this morning is restorative love is always rooted in a conquering faith. Restorative love is always rooted in a conquering faith. Verse 14 to 16, Paul says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Very often, while sometimes I have that opportunity to speak into the life of a congregation, I fully understand that those who are tuning in or listening, our lives are very diverse and colorful, and we are not the same. And I also understand that while you and I listen, there is many things in our minds that could us take us into a different space of time, and we feel like, yeah, I don't think there's nothing for me. I don't think God really profoundly cares for me because I don't see his power. I need more of him, but I don't feel it. And so you could be sitting here right now, overwhelmed with many things. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, I want you to take a different picture. Have a different picture right now. And the picture that Paul gives to the church in Corinth is the picture of something that he would have witnessed, most likely in Ephesus, in one of the Roman cities, where he would have seen how a general of the army, of the Roman army, who would have come from the battlefield, and he would have conquered and killed more than 5,000 people. And with him, there is a procession, a triumphal procession coming into the city. And while they're walking into the city, coming from the battlefield, with him, there is the senators and the state officials. They all come walking into this parade, walking into the city to revere and to honor the captain, the general who won that war. And with that comes all the spoils taken from the lands that they came from. There would be also a white bull for the sacrifice to their god. And then follow that bull, there would be a captive that would follow later on. And all these captives that they took prisoners from that war would be put into prison, and most likely they would be executed. And then comes after the captives, there would be the musicians and the priests. They would have incense. They would burn an incense in the parade. And finally, the conquering general rides in a chariot pulled by four horses. And Paul says this, you and I, who have been restored by the love of a forgiving Father, who now do not walk with the aroma of garbage and smell, or the aroma of death, the aroma of disunity, the aroma of bitterness, the aroma of anger, but we're walking in the procession of someone who says, I have conquered the enemy. Satan has been defeated already on the cross. He has no power over you. You are now walking with me in this procession of victory, and you are called to rise up in the incense and bring about the aroma of life to all of the spectators that are watching this conquering general who's walking in the procession of triumphal procession into the city. And Paul says, this is who we have. We are not defeated. We don't live with death written over us. We are walking in life with the aroma of Christ in us, who restored us to the Father's love, who has forgiven us, and now we are joining in Him, with Him, in this procession of victory. Do you know what that is? So if you feel this morning defeated, you feel like someone has mistreated you, someone has misunderstood you, you've been labeled, you've been sized up, and you feel like there's some issues in my life that need to be settled, I want you to know, walk in the procession of Christ and take on the aroma of Christ and live in the victory that Christ has given to you already on the cross. You are not just anyone. You are my beloved. You belong to me, and you belong to this procession of victory. You are not defeated. You are special. This is how Paul finishes chapter 2. And he says, for when God restores, He restores all the chips. He chips away all the years of wrong living. He can do that in a moment, this morning. He can. He will take away all the wrongful habits that you may have had. All the hurtful attitudes that you feel in your heart, He can take that away. He strips them off and He restores them to usual and functional activities in the kingdom of God. So let me ask you the question this morning. Are you walking in Christ? Are you walking in Christ? Are you dwelling in Him? Do you remain in Him? And if you do, you will take on the fragrance of Christ. You will take on the fragrance of Christ right now. Right now. And if you've never done that, just say this morning, Father, just close your eyes for a minute. Father, I want more of you. I just want more of you. Father, I want to join in the procession of victory. I want to walk with you. And I confess my sin of unbelief. Jesus, I want you to be my leader. Help me to walk and look at people the way you look at us, all of us, with so much love. I will ask the worship team just to come on stage here, and as they will lead us into a closing song this morning. As you reflect on what you have heard this morning, would you make the effort in your heart to seek the well-being of someone that feels distant from you even in this moment? And you want to make a prayer about that, or probably you need to release someone who you held hostage with a spirit of unforgiveness. You need to release that person. In the name of Jesus, release that person. Or if you haven't walked in the conquering faith of Jesus, then just say this morning, God, I want to be rooted in you. I want to be rooted in you and not in my feelings and my emotions. I want to walk with the aroma of Christ, not with my own selfish world.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gateway North podcast. We hope you've been challenged and inspired from God's word. To find out more about Gateway Church, head to gatewaywinnipeg.com.